alive, be a Christian. Wonderful time. They that understand will instruct many. Well, the understanding that we're starting to get was not anything like I had ever envisioned. Never had I ever thought that you know, they that understand, meaning what? Meaning what? Well, God says that His way, or that His thoughts and His ways are higher than our thoughts and our ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth. That's good, because now we got something to compare to. Or do we? How far above the earth are those heavens? I still don't have anything to compare to. His ways are past finding out. How high up, how high are those thoughts? And so, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. And we read that He is the expressed image of the invisible God. And so, as Jesus walked on earth, and then He makes these profound statements, and He said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. And it's like, well, God's spirit. God's not a man that He should lie, the Bible says. He's not a man. And everything within the Scriptures lets us know that the man, Christ Jesus, was not God either. He was made like His brethren. He's like us, that God anointed, that God used however one. And the thing is, it looks like that God created the heavens and the earth through Him. And it's like, it still says God's the one that did it. And God's going to judge through Him. It's still God doing the judging. If God judged, Charlie's a judge. If God judged through Charlie, who's judging? You know what I'm saying? What happens is we don't see the Scriptures. We don't realize what the Scriptures have there tell us. And so, here's God's thoughts and God's ways. Well, Jesus is the declaration of those things. And so what this is the declaration of God's thoughts and God's ways. And this is how God thinks, except that man does not have the ability within us in any way to sort out this word and discover exactly what God thinks. We hear it, but we can't understand it. So God gave us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into truth. What truth? The truth that is already contained here, except that our puny little minds are not able to understand it. But it's here. We talked to Dale last night. I said that before. Anyway, he told me that Mary has been listening to the Scriptures day and night, 24/7. And I said, I have to call her up. But anyway, that was off this thing. But so here are the thoughts and the ways of God that are in here. So the Bible says, I mean, I'm going to run a bunch of things through it because it's in me here. But the Bible tells us that in 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1:4, it says that by these exceeding great and precious promises, what? By this Bible, by these words that you and I are taking in, we become partakers of God's divine nature. Meaning what? Those words and those ways and God's thoughts and what God does is the nature of God. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we do or what we think is our nature. That's who we are. And we can hide our thoughts from people, but we can't hide our thoughts from God. And the Bible has let us know that. Okay, so you take in these thoughts. And then you get to scriptures like in 2 Corinthians 10, where it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And you know what? That's impossible. God gave me several hours of sleep last night supernaturally because I was not tired. Can God bring our thoughts into captivity? How do you control your thoughts? You wake up in the morning, you got thoughts. How do you control them? What do you do with your thoughts? You can't do anything with them. But God can. So like everything else, let's ask Him. Bring my thoughts under control until all I think are things of God. You know how it says in Philippians 4:8 where it says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good, etc., think upon these things. Try it. It don't last real long. You know what I mean? But I'm beginning to realize that we have not taken God into consideration enough. God is the one that does that. Whatever it is that we need, He will do it. If it's impossible for us, that seems to be, and this is a strange way to say it, seems to be right up God's alley. Pardon the loose way I said that, but it's like the things that are impossible with men are God can do it. There's not anything impossible with God. Which puts Him in a lot different category than anything I know, anyone I know. So, if we are going to have the divine nature of God, then our thoughts and our ways are going to have to copy the only begotten Son who had those things. He that has seen me has seen the Father. You know what? We got flesh and we got spirit. And we got, it's like, you see the flesh here and you see, now you, we're seeing the divine nature of God expressed in His Son. And does not the Bible say that Christ in you, the hope of glory?
Yes, it does.
Isn't that, meaning what? Meaning what? How about His thought patterns? And how about, you know how it says that, I think the last verse in 1 Corinthians 2, where it says, who has known the mind of God or mind of the Lord that He might instruct him? Then the last verse says, but we have the mind of Christ. Are you familiar with the verse? But we have the mind of Christ. And it's like, who are we? Who's we that we're talking about? You know what I mean? But the thing that we see here is the potential to have the mind of Christ, but it only happens one way. And this is the thing that is the mystery, the secret, the great mystery that is hidden from the church because they're not willing to let go of their yesterday's manna and grab a hold of the fresh one that God has on a daily basis. Every day, you know how the Bible says His mercies are renewed every morning? Every day, there's exciting, new, wonderful things that come out of this thing that has been around for most of it, for 5,000 years. And the rest of it for 2,000. And here it is. How could it be fresh and, you know, every morning? How could something new come out of this every morning? It's not because you and I are able to do it. It's because there's an awesome Creator who has given us words that will turn us into carbon copies of His Son, who was the expressed image of the Creator. A physical being that expressed the divine nature of God, which is contained in this word. This whole Bible is the expression of God's divine nature. And so Jesus said, here's what he said, John 15:7. He said, if you abide in me, and if my word abides in you, and isn't that what we're talking about? If my word abides in you, then you can ask what you will, and it will be done. And I realize that my faith is really rapidly changing. I am beginning to believe when I pray. You say, but you're 80 years old. That should have taken place a long time ago. It doesn't matter when it starts. I'm just glad that it's beginning to start. I'm beginning to believe when I pray that it's going to take place. Is it complete? No, it's not complete. It's beginning. Isn't a beginning better than not having anything? Anyways, I told Dale last night on the phone, I said, I'm excited. Too excited for this being this old, but I'm excited. And I am. The reason I have this thing on me is besides in balance, both of my hips are hurting me.
Well, I'm kind of excited too. And you know, I don't think I'd be particularly excited if we didn't have a pastor that was excited. You know? So thank you, Keith. Thank you, God. Thank you. You know, thank you. Thank you. Keith was saying, hey, pray for it. You know? God answers prayer. So let me lead us in prayer. Regarding a couple things, I want to pray about Keith's balance in his hips. Lord, by your Spirit, we ask, oh Jesus, there would be divine healing in those hips, divine healing in his balance, oh Lord. Lord, do that good work. Do that good work, oh Lord. And Lord, we ask, oh Jesus, that you would touch Dale, oh Lord, that there would be a resolution of all the complications and difficulties associated with his leg, Lord. And Lord, Keith referred to praying that every thought would be in your captivity. So Lord, I pray for that. I pray that we would have every thought that would be captive to you. Every thought captive to you, O Lord, that all the things that go on in our brain, that those would be captive to you, that it would be your thoughts, your ways, your spirit, that we would indeed have the mind of Christ. And it would be all the things that Christ thought about that would be going on in our brains, O Lord. Cause that good work to be done. Cause that good work to be done, Lord, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I heard a portion of Scripture here. And although I don't have my glasses with me, I think I can read what we've got here. It's in Matthew chapter 1, and I'll start in chapter or verse 21. It says there was an angel speaking to Joseph after to reassure him regarding the fact that Mary was pregnant. It says anyway, the angel said, and she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. That scripture, what Jesus was God with us. On his face, It's pretty good proof text for the divinity of Christ. I believe that Jesus was a man. He is a man. I believe that. But at first I was thinking, this verse is a little problem. But, you know, it isn't. It just isn't. It's not a problem. There is a way that Jesus was fully man, and to be fully man, you got to be only man, you know. And yet, he was a man so full of God that it was God with us. God with us, you know. And if your thoughts are, ha ha, gotcha, Jesus was God, that's natural thinking. That's the natural man going through a natural thought process and coming up with a natural conclusion. No. He was a man that for whom it could be said, God was with us. That was what was going on here. You know. We'll never be able to nail it, though. We just won't be able to do that. That's just not the way of it. Not now, anyway. And not in any way that satisfies the natural man. I suppose in the spirit, you can have a great confidence that you have an understanding that perhaps can't be fully articulated. But we just are not going to be able to nail it in the natural.
I didn't mean to get the slow jump on somebody, but there's a scripture in relationship to what I'm not sure what book I was in now. Was it Corinthians, was it? Okay, yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:19. And I thought of it in relationship to what Charlie was saying. See, the scripture is very plain, but we can be confused in lots of places in the scriptures real easy. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, now you know how that scripture is up here? It says that if you read it the way that it is, it is telling us that the knowledge of God or the, how was that worded? Come on, I'm looking at it. The knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The word for means that. Because. It's a conjunction. And that's what it means. And so, if we look at it, there's a separation. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know what? We can't ignore any scriptures. We can't ignore the scripture that Charlie just read. And we certainly cannot ignore this scripture. It's in verse 19. To wit, that is. That's what to wit means. That is that God was in Christ. No man has seen God at any time. And he told the Samaritan woman, he says, God is spirit. And she said, we're looking for the Messiah. And he says, the one that is talking to you right now, that's who you're looking for. But we worship God in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is a place to worship. And he says, the hour is coming when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, because he's spirit, and in truth. And so there's an obvious separation. He didn't say, I'm the Father. I'm the Messiah. And so what the scriptures say is real clear, except we could even confuse this one, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. It's repeated twice. It's in 18 and 19. We have been given a ministry of reconciliation. He now has given us the word of reconciliation. This word will reconcile. See, God was in Christ. God was in Christ. Great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. And if you read that verse, the man Christ Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. Unless you read the rest of the verses with it, you know what I mean? It's like, see how it's no wonder God has left this thing in such a way. If you want to get confused, go and have a good time at it. But if you want the truth, the Holy Spirit will unravel these things. See, God was in Christ. Well, of course.
And he wants to be in us.
Wants to be? He is already in you to a degree. Okay? Speak the truth. We will in that regard. I started coming across an interesting concept that I think is starting to give me a little insight, but who knows, you know. First of all, yeah. I think I'm, without knowing it, we still, when we hear each other and we read the scriptures, are trying to understand this with our natural minds. And, you know, and I thought of that sitting there. I thought, you know, I don't do that consciously, but I think that's what I'm doing. And when I don't, then certain things start, like, first of all, so I was thinking about, you know, there's one thing that says, and I am the man from heaven. And he's on earth at the time. You know, he's still ministering. I'm the man from heaven. I thought, how does that work? Then I just started, and then I read how God overshadowed Mary. And all this was done, how? By the Spirit.
Yes.
And so, and then it's like, well, if God was in Christ, then they want to say that was, so God is Spirit. Can all of God ever be in just one place? Seems pretty impossible to me, because it says he covers heaven and earth and the universe. I mean, you know. So, yeah, God was in Christ to whatever degree he wanted to be by his Spirit. When you are born again, where are you born from? Heaven. Because what? Because you're born by the Spirit, which comes from where? Heaven. Spirit is always coming from heaven. And so, and the thing is, then I, see, there's the thing, well, I just looked ahead when Charlie read, you know, about Behold the Virgin and stuff, and I happened to glance over in italics in verse 15, and he says, out of Egypt I called my son. Really? Huh. You know. So he overshadows Mary, how? By his Spirit. So he took a seed that he wanted from heaven, put it in Mary to produce Jesus Christ. Does that sound fair? You know? Nobody else has ever had that done, so obviously it had an effect that was different than what we had. Up until we are born again. Now, we limit ourselves because we're just not capable of walking as Christ did. But the fact is, that is the same concept. And I think it's expressed plainly, you know, that you are born from above. So that means forget the flesh, you know. And I want to be developing my spiritual mind, not my flesh mind, because it's just going to keep getting in the way. You know? And so then I thought about eat my flesh, drink my blood. Crazy thing to say.
Sure is.
So you go, well, it must be a type somewhat. Well, then I remembered Jesus says, and I'm probably in Gethsemane, I think, because I was listening, so I went, Lord, do not let this cup pass from me. Is there any reference in Scripture that he drank from a cup before he did all that he did on the cross? No, I don't believe there is. So obviously it meant a type, or it's, you know. And then I thought, you know, if I eat his flesh and drink his blood, is that saying I believe, because I've been eating of this word, that he came in the flesh, that his blood was the only one that provided a perfect sacrifice for my sins, and that it's going to get me into heavenly places.
That's good.
You know? Because it's by the Spirit. And he said, I come in the Spirit, and I bring truth, which is the Spirit of truth sent from God. So all of that is coming in a spiritual sense, not a natural way. So you can't, you know, so if you're thinking in the natural, then you're going to end up somewhere along the line in Catholicism where you think you're taking of the flesh and drinking of the blood. Crazy. That's, you know what? That's a lot of what all the heathens believed.
Yeah.
You know, they were always drinking somebody's blood, either animal or people, one or the other, you know, and making sacrifices of babies and everything else. Is that supposed to line up, you know, like a type? Heck no. You know, so it's, I'm going to send you a helper, the Spirit of Truth. And how else are you going to worship God but in spirit and truth? Because that's what he is. You know, and we're a long ways from that yet. I am anyway. I don't want to necessarily speak for you. But, boy, I just think it's going to be possible.
Yes, amen.
You know, I really think it's going to be possible. And I am really looking to that because I have absolutely no idea what that is. And I don't think anybody else does either. Thank goodness. Because God always does a new thing. You know? And from now on, I'm trying to start looking for those little verses that incorporate more of that, you know, of that thought pattern of coming from heaven. You know, it makes more sense now that a man, he says, I'm a man from heaven. Yeah, because my origin came from heaven by God overshadowing a virgin. See, that doesn't seem as far-fetched in a sense then, you know. And some of those references, because they're spiritual and they're spirit, then, you know, you can't put flesh boundaries on them. You know what I mean? What you got to do is pray that your spirit mind opens more to receive it, not your flesh mind to receive it. And I think I've been thinking in a certain way, I'm receiving it through my flesh mind to become spiritual. There's no way that's going to happen. And I'm glad to, all of a sudden, even I'm saying this to myself, that I have to get rid of that thought, you know. I'm not trying to read the word in my flesh, so why would I think I'd receive it, you know, that way? So, by the Spirit. That's a powerful thing. And to know that God is Spirit, always, has been, will be, is everywhere, that's a revelation. And I loved it the first time I heard it. I had to keep saying it. It just didn't make, I thought, wait a minute. Yeah, not but is. And so everything is based on spiritual. And that's why it's so hard for us to comprehend a lot of this. Because the Word is written. Like he says, in this Word, yes, there's common things. You can live a good life by reading this and following what Jesus said, But what you got to hear is the real truth that's in there that will get you to heaven. Because just doing the good things in here is not the answer. I mean, it's a better life, but it's not an eternal life, And the mysteries of God, Well, they're hidden in here. But it says that he wants to reveal them all to us, And I don't, so far, have not seen where it means necessarily in the next life. Now, it takes a lot of faith to want to accept that you could receive all truth, in this life. Did Jesus? And then here's the good part he received all truth that he needed to have. So, can you receive all the truth you need to have? Yeah, I think that's real possible, So, it's opening up to things that and it's getting us, starting to condition us to think more and more spirit rather than natural. And that in itself is a tremendous concept. And if people don't want to grasp that, then they're never going to be in your world, which is not this world, but the one to come. You just got to be open to that. You got to, in humility and just drop your pride and everything else and want to know what that is at any cost. To your flesh and my flesh. And it's costing. It needs to cost more, though, as far as I'm concerned in me, because it hasn't wiped it out yet. So, and I mean, that takes time. But, so it needs to really get a hold. And because, that remnant that's talked about so much, they're just not sort of walking the path. They're not just sort of receiving the truth. They're not just sort of living out the Word. They are the Word living, And boy, I know I'm not there, But that's where we all want to get. And I can almost say unequivocally that is exactly where God wants to get us.
I feel like repeating everything you guys said today again, over and over. I'm going to, a little bit. Like Charlie said, you can't nail it. Us. We can't come up with a way of saying or explaining anything just right to explain the things of God. But, obviously, the Spirit can. God can't do it. And why can't we? Because God wants to do it himself. He wants the glory. He's weird like that. He's jealous. He wants the glory of, so anything, we can, kick the ball, but God will get the ball rolling. You know what I mean? Like, high water, but God gives the increase kind of thing. He wants the glory. What is this handicap that when somebody says to Jesus, somebody says to Jesus, he was born blind, he says. And who sinned? He said, nobody sinned. He says, he's like that because the glory of God could be manifested in him. And I thought about the scriptures since day one. I mean, what does that mean? That means that He will open his eyes so the glory of God could be in him. It can be, but I think also what it could be is like this blind person achieving what that person will achieve will glorify God also. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes we think, well, the obvious will be that he opens his eyes for the glory of God. But no, if this person stays blind and can achieve things, that will get more of people's attention. If you have a blind person open their eyes, 5 months from now, everybody forgets about the blind person. But if you see a blind person blind, doing all these amazing things, loving God, that will get your attention, and that's how I think the glory of God glorifies himself in things like that. Will he open the eyes of the blind? Of course. Yes. Also, about Emmanuel, God with us. I have never seen it as in that is God. Jesus is God because he's Emmanuel, God with us. That, to me, has always been God is in your side, Emmanuel. God cares for you. That with, the word with for me in there signifies God has you. That's why he sent his son, because he's with you. God is with you, and God is in your favor, so he has his son. And Emmanuel, so are we baptizing people in the name of Emmanuel? We have the name Emmanuel hasn't showed up ever since. What's with that? So, it's a little confusing. Other thing, sometimes I'm going to quote a scripture that we haven't quoted in a long time. Unless maybe in Sunday evening services. But if somebody came to me and said, Pablo, tell me about Jesus, God, and you guys, and what's the deal? Who's God, who's not God? And the scripture, Charlie, you always bring up of, him in me, I am in him, and all in one, we're all this mass. This is the scriptures. Jesus says, now picture it. I got to ask you, but you got to picture it. Jesus says, I am the vine. I am the vine. You are the branches. And my Father is the vine dresser. And that's how we are all in one in this thing. We are, the Father is the vine dresser. He's always there in charge. We are a little grape, a little branch. Yeah. We are still gods. We are gods. But Jesus is the vine. That's what you always see. It's amazing. We are the branch. And the Father, he shows up once a year maybe to make sure everything's fine. I don't know. But God is in charge of the vine. He's the waters, and he's the sun for the vine. And we are the branches.
The Bible tells us in the last verse of the Gospel of Mark, and it says that God confirmed the word with signs following. I want to substitute something, and a lot of translators do, so I should be able to get away with it. But instead of using the word, I want to change it to say, and God confirmed the truth with signs following. You follow me? God confirmed the truth. And see, that is the issue. With us, truth might not be that big of an issue because we're flesh, we're people. And it's like we say, that sounds pretty good to me. Well, is it true? We don't know. But sounds good. And Jesus makes this profound, astounding, unbelievable statement to Pilate. And Pilate asks him, he says, are you a king then? And he says, to this end was I born, for this reason, and for this cause I came, to bear witness to the truth. Now my question is, if that's the case, how important is truth to God? Is truth an issue? Whether we agree or not, and we have our own opinions and whatever, does it matter to God whether it's truth or not? For this reason I was born, for this cause I came, to bear witness to the truth. So he came to his Jewish nation that he was a part of, and he preached just the truth that the Father told him to bring. That's all he had, was he just brought truth. So the Jewish nation, that should have known better, the leadership of that nation, they rejected him to a man. I mean, we had some things like Nicodemus, and we have, Joseph of Arimathea. We have a few people that are in here that were Jewish leaders. But for the most part, they rejected him, and they said, have any of the Pharisees or the leaders believed in this man? But these people who are cursed, they're the ones that are following this man. You know what I mean? What a slap, you know. And so anyway, here's the reason I said all that. God is not going to confirm Keith Gunn's private interpretation false doctrine. God is not going to confirm that which we believed for years, and it was not even scriptural. God's not going to confirm that. I used to half be angry at God because we had the perfect, righteous, totally truthful doctrine. We prayed for people and nothing happened. Well, after listening to the scriptures almost day and night for what's going on 17 years or so, I have come to the conclusion that there's not a lot of things that I was taught way back when that line up with the scriptures. I want to be really careful. I know it's on the tape and people are going to hear this, and some of them were taught the same things I was taught, but you know what? There's not a lot that we're finding, and I think Ken just hit the nail on the head, and it's like we're trying to understand things naturally. We have been taught for years that it's like, well, doesn't the Bible say study to show yourself approved? You know? And so we have taken this as that and thought intellectually, and we've thought, you know, different, you know, the teaching segment, which each one believes something different, and so that's what they teach is something different. And while the truth of the matter is, we it doesn't say that anybody's name here, but it doesn't say that God sent you to lead and guide the rest of us in the truth. And as wonderful as I am, I mean, go ahead. I'm teasing. I do not have any sort of an ability to lead and guide you into anything except Keith Gunn's mindsets. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So God bypassed all of this thing, and this is what Ken was emphasizing here, and he says, you don't have it, boys and girls, I'm sorry. But there is someone that I have. I will send him to you, and he alone is capable of taking and sorting out this word. Jesus says he will take of mine and show it to you. He's able to sort out this word and reveal truth to you until, if you will do it, if you will hunger and thirst after truth, if you will receive a love for the truth. Thus, what the day is coming, and I can say this positively, assuredly, whatever. The day will come if you will let God, if you will receive a love for the truth, until truth is in you and abides, until the Word of God is in you in truth, God will confirm that word with signs following. Do you know what the problem was that was in the church. Remember when Paul prophesied through Timothy? And they had a form of godliness and denied the power. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, when I came to you, I didn't come with enticing words of men's wisdom. I came in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, so men's faith would rest in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. We're trying to get faith in the wisdom of men, and that don't work. Been there and done that. And so what God wants and what He's looking for is for us to have the truth element in us until God is able to confirm His word in power. You want to see the end time revival thing? It's not going to come as people are in, you know, with lots of doctrines or in a church and the power of God falls on them and they start speaking in tongues and all things happen. And they go out and promote 17 different doctrines. In the end of this thing, if God finishes the work and cuts it short in righteousness, God is going to have a people that speak the same thing, and it is going to be truth.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
You know what it takes to get the truth? Everything. It's a commitment that I haven't been able to make yet. But like I said, I had an experience last night. I have been not getting enough sleep. And in the middle of the night, I had a good prayer time with the Lord. And I'm wide awake. And I said, Lord, I got a problem. I need you to give me some sleep. The next thing I knew, it was 7:30 in the morning. I don't even know when I fell asleep. We got to get to the place where our confidence and trust in the Lord is at 24/7.
I'm excited.
This may come a little harsh or whatever. It's there's people over here that are doing signs and wonders, and they're not saying what you're saying. Are there different kinds of signs and wonders?
I'm afraid so.
Yes, there are. Because there are ministers of righteousness that are not of God. And that's in the scripture. It's in, 2 Corinthians something 15, I believe. Where it says, you know, that Satan is as an angel of light and his ministers are ministers of righteousness. Now, how can that be? Isn't that a contradiction? Well, they're ministers of what appears to be right, but it's not. And Satan will back up his, you know, little ministry with signs and wonders also. Well, then how are we going to know? Well, there's also scriptures that says that you will receive discernment by the you. And I'm going to say it in plain kind of, you know, my own words. You will receive discernment by the constant use of this word. Meaning, if you are eating this word and listening continually, and that's using it, it's being used in you, more or less, you'll start gaining the ability to discern what are right miracles and signs and what aren't, you know, and who they're from. And I really want that. Because at this point, I don't think I could. You know, necessarily. The only way I would be able to judge maybe if for myself would be as if what I was heard was being preached didn't seem to be lining up in the Word of God. Well, then who are you to know what the Word of God? Well, I'm not. Except that I want a love for the truth. I have a love for the truth to whatever degree. I have humbled myself as a little child and said, I don't know anything. Teach me. And I keep wanting to do that. And so, you know, it's, and so there isn't an argument. I mean, in this case, I can say the man with experience is not at the mercy of one with an argument. I've experienced that being a little child in my heart has gotten me some truth.
Yes.
faithful to do that. So, you know, that's going to be a big thing in the days to come, because there's going to be false miracles and signs. It says so in the Word, you know. And so you better have a continuous use of this Word going on, or you're not going to be able to tell the difference, you know. And that's kind of a harsh exhortation, but I've heard it, and it sets a certain thing in me, a fear of God, for one. You know, a good fear of God, a godly fear, you know, that I don't want to be on the wrong side of that, you know. So it's, and you know, probably one easy way of discerning is who really wants the glory when that's happening, you know. And you'll know that. I mean, you know, because basically it'll sooner or later it'll come out that they want to take credit, and it's like we were. Well, look at us, man. We got music ministry, like, and we got us. We are it. Yeah, right. We're a little tiny bit of it, and then God stepped in and made us nothing, and is starting to bring us back. You know, and I am grateful for that. I do not regret one thing that has happened to me being a part of this church. I really don't. It's got me to places that no man would have ever counseled me to get to. I'm serious. It's gotten me places of looking into my heart that I never would have looked. And how amazing is it that it's taken 30-some years? Well, that's because that's how bad we are. And I'll speak for myself. You know, at masking and wanting to hide certain areas of our life that we don't want to look at, you know. But He is so gracious and loving and kind and long-suffering that He knows how to wait in time to get you to the place where you'll acknowledge it and hopefully do something with it, you know. And I have had certain areas that there was no victory for years, 20 years, whatever. And now there has been, you know. I got some more to go, you know, and they're going to have to happen. But I'm pretty confident. Even when I'm not confident, I am pretty confident that He can do that. And I'm going to leave it there.
So we're dancing around how we know God's heart. And, you know, for a long time, we believed we could read our way there. We could Bible study our way there. We could preach to the lost our way there. You know, I think there's a scripture, and correct me, but how be it that one has this, and one has this, and one has this. And it's not the same thing, but they all started from the same thing. So how come it's different? You know, my point is, I think we're overlooking how God provides revelation. It's through the Spirit. We use the Word to get us at a place where the Spirit can do the work.
Good.
We need the Word. Keith said something a few minutes ago. I'm ready to jump up and go, no, 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 no. So I'll say it differently. Consider this. We're giving Jesus a lot of credit for He was able to do all of these things. Walk right. Not sin. So, just because we can, let's think a little bit with our natural mind and say, well, was Jesus, the natural man, able to do that, or was it really God in Him that did that? So, do we want to give credit to the flesh, or do we want to give credit to the Spirit? I don't know. I think God in Jesus is why Jesus walked upright. It wasn't Jesus the man. And if we're going to cling to that, that's a bad word. We're going to stand on that truth that Jesus is a man. Okay, but what separated Jesus from all other men is the fullness of God, which is what we all want. We're all striving there. And obviously, according to Scripture, you know, Jesus couldn't have been God, because if they had seen Jesus, they would have died. So, you know. But the Jews were never really ever too worried about Jesus being a God. That was something we did later. So, you know, the Jews had that right. My point for getting up today is, and I agree wholeheartedly with, and it is the conundrum that God has put us in. He's given us these five senses in the natural, and we're trying with all of our heart, hopefully, and all of our might to know His heart. And He says, you know, that really you can't do that. So then we're left to God doing that through the Spirit. And we just don't really like that because we don't control the Spirit. I mean, you mean I can't works my way there. I can't exert my way there. I can't be in a prayer closet my way there. I can't be a really good person. And the answer is no. You can't. He can. And it gets back to Corky's mantra about, you know, it's His time. Got to have patience and all of that. But do not sell the Spirit short. The Spirit is working all the time. I see it in you in ways that you don't see it because it's already working. And we have to be okay with that, unfortunately. Because the natural mind is not really ready for that, you know. But Brother Ken's comment, you know, signs are really helpful because they lift up us, but they lift up the weaknesses of the flesh, because signs help faith. And faith is kind of a natural thing, but faith is also a spiritual thing. And so it's, you know, we've kind of, I was sharing the other day with someone about, we used to be pretty excited to be quote-unquote God chasers. And, you know, on one level, there's nothing wrong wanting to see God move. The problem is if wanting to see a sign is really what becomes the point of your relationship, then you've missed. And we kind of came a little bit out of that, and so it was easy to kind of slide into signs. But there are signs from God, and then there's signs from the destroyer. And the thing that always catches me up short is I want to know that I'm on the rock of the Word to be able to discern truth from not truth. And you can never have too much truth, which means you should always be seeking it. Yet, I don't think we can get the truths that we want just by being in the Word. We get the truths that we need by the revelations from God. Mm-hmm. And they come to us. I mean, there are things that I now understand that I didn't get just from reading the Scriptures. I got because it was His time, and my heart was open, and I was pondering things. That's good. And that's harsh in the sense that So what are you doing in this? Well, not so much. But as it was said, if you come to God with the right heart and the right mind, which is, I think, another way of saying, come to God as a little child. Mm-hmm. That says, I know things, but I know that I don't know anything. And God says, okay, now I can do things. There's that pretty strong rebuke in the scriptures where Jesus says, because you think you know, you're in trouble. You know, I want to think I know, but I want to be open to that I don't know. And that's a balance. So I think we're right where we want to be. I think I'm right where I want to be. God has got me looking to Him to do what He needs to do in me. And I'm continually giving up little bits and going, you know, and I really can't control this. And I really don't, I can't make a difference here. All I can do is continue to submit myself before Him and let Him do it. Part of me doing that is coming here and hearing what God's doing in your lives. Because through that, He's bringing me forward. So, I don't even have a good closing statement.
An adulterous and perverse generation seek after a sign. Jesus does say, you know, these signs should follow those that believe. You know, and but you know what else also he says? Because he says a lot of things, but then he says other things in the same. And he says, again, what was it that you said? What was your opening statement in your last, when you got up, other people doing science?
Oh, yeah, the ministers of righteousness that are not of God.
Right, and so, you know, so we got, you know, people doing things, and what if we want to know? We want to know what's ministry of God or not. Jesus also says, he says, you will know them by their fruits. And this is not, it does not say you will know him by their miracles.
That's right.
And I'm going to read. And so when you see this, you know, it says, and the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are hard ones to find. You find those, you know. Now, miracles, I think they come there, you know, a dime a piece or whatever the saying is. You know, but this one's over here, a dime and a dozen. Yeah. Love, joy, peace. Find that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's when you know him by the fruit. That's when you know. And I'm going to backtrack now. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature's desire what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that they do not do what you want. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. This is the opposite now. Sexual immorality, impurity, can't even read, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That's the opposite of the fruits of the Spirit.
No closing statement for me.
You know, who knows why God does what he does, you know. I know when I was ministering in jail, there were a bunch of miracle stories in there, you know. Those men had experienced miracles, had miracles. And I don't think they were, it wasn't on a Benny Hinn level, you know. So, you know, I just don't know why God does what he does. But I don't think you weren't saying this, Ken. But I hesitate to say, oh, minister a light there, because they're wrong, you know. God, we have a good, gracious, wonderful God who, and those guys in jail, yeah, their connection with the truth was pretty darn, tenuous, whatever. But we have a God that is drawing, you know, trying to pull, and does it in some surprising ways. So I just, and again, I don't know that you were saying this, Ken, but I hesitate to say that, that must have been an angel of light that provided that miracle. No. We have a good God. We have a good God for people who don't have a total handle on the truth. Let me say something else in response to Ken. Yep. Talking about eating his flesh, drinking his blood. And that is a troubling scripture, isn't it? That's, it's troubling, and yet I love it. I love the idea of being that close to God in some kind of sense, spiritual sense, you know, that I am so close to him that I am drinking his blood. Whoa, that is way out of line. You know, eating his flesh, that's improper, you know. But that's what he's instructing us to do. And yes, in some sense, it is a type, but I don't want to get so far removed from what is being expressed there by characterizing it as a type. Yeah, I suppose it is a type. And yet those words say, eat his blood, put your teeth into that, or, you know, the words say, eat his flesh, put your, sink, you know, chaw on the back, you know, that's what's being expressed there. And I don't want to get too far away from that. No, we don't literally eat his flesh, but he said eat his flesh. So, you know, don't get too far away. Drink, you know, take a glass, drink, you know. That's what he is saying. And it is expressing a kind of closeness and intimacy, even one that comes across as being pretty darn improper, that we must not be too far away from. You know?
I want to emphasize something that Charlie just said because I think it's really important. Signs and wonders are not bad. And in fact, signs and wonders are exactly the right thing for certain people. There's nothing wrong with being excited for God. And if a sign or a miracle is how that happens, praise God. I was just trying to say that becomes your focus, you kind of miss. And you don't get to that point until you realize that it's more than signs and miracles. I have a testimony of sorts, and it's kind of, it could be viewed as a sign, but it's a different thing. You know, I'm with my current situation, things are, you know, financially are a little bit tighter, and had bad news this Friday night. Friday, we found out that our furnace stopped working. Now, it's better to stop working when it's going to be 60 for a week than minus 20. So those of you could argue, well, that's not really much of a test, but, you know, nonetheless. And there was a bill, and it just turned out that God found a way to provide for that. You know, here's an expense, but God provided for that. And that was kind of one of those things. And you know, it wasn't a miracle. No one rose risen from the dead. But he finds ways to keep us.
Yes.
And sometimes we just kind of write over, oh, that could have been a problem, but now it's not. And sometimes we forget to give him the glory for smoothing out the road. You know. Also goes back to you won't make it too tough and all that other good stuff. But anyways, I thank God for the little things along with the big things. And
amen.
Keeping us on the path to getting our hearts right. And getting our heads out of the way of our hearts and letting the Spirit work.
When I start to get up, I'm expecting people to groan along with me. The first verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, desire spiritual gifts. Or no. It says, desire. But doesn't it say something about, I'm trying to untangle it in my mind, about charity or love? It says desire love or have. How does it say the first verse?
Follow after charity.
Okay, the whole 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is the love chapter. Agape love, the high sacrificial godly type love. And so it says follow after that and desire spiritual gifts. And especially prophecy, because that is the most edifying to the body. Well, anyway, among the spiritual gifts, one of them is discerning of spirits. And then John tells us in 1 John, the 4th chapter, he says, beloved, don't believe every spirit. So God wants us to have the gift so that we can tell whether this is a spirit from God or whether it's from God or whatever. And then it says, you know, don't believe every spirit. And it says this strange statement. There's a sentence added in here that doesn't make any sense at first. It says, don't believe every spirit, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Then we go back to spirits. And it says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Does that matter? Does it matter? What about spirits that don't confess that? Or spirits, and it says, then it says that everyone that does not confess that is not from God, and that is the spirit of the Antichrist. Is that scary or not? I'm just quoting the scripture. Then I want to get off from that and say, we'll make one other statement. Jesus, the great divine, or one who is a spirit, you know, a spirit, they said, it's a spirit. He says, does a spirit have flesh and bones? But let me quote another scripture, which I cannot find. I looked for it, couldn't find it. I'm not sure exactly where it is. Here's what Jesus said. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. Well, that is some God that we're serving. Are you following what I'm saying? What a strange statement for him to make. I can of my own self do nothing. And then he says, another place he says, it is the Father that is in me that is doing the works. Anyway, let's come up to the front, unless you have something to try.